Bless you. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 150, stanzas 1 through 4. O God, give thou ear to my plea, and hide not thyself from my cry. O hearken, and answer thou me, as restless and weary I sigh. 1 through 4 of Psalter 150.
Thank you. portion of God's Word that we wish to read in this afternoon hour you can find recorded in the book of Job and are of the 8th chapter, Job chapter 8. But before that, we will read the 12 articles of our undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Job chapter 8. Then answered Bildad the Shuhite and said, How long wilt thou speak these things? And how long shall the words of thy mouth be like a strong wind? That God preferred judgment, or that the Almighty preferred justice? If thy children have sinned against him, and he have cast them away for their transgression, if thou wouldest seek unto God betimes, and make thy supplication to the Almighty, if thou wert pure and upright, surely now he would awake for thee, and make the habitation of thy righteousness prosperous. Though thy beginning was small, yet thy latter end should greatly increase. For inquire, I pray thee, of the former age, and prepare thyself to the search of their fathers. For we are but of yesterday and know nothing, because our days upon earth are a shadow. Shall not they teach thee and tell thee and utter words out of their heart? Can the rush grow up without mire? Can the flag grow without water? While it is yet in his greenness, and not cut down, it withereth before any other herb. So are the paths of all that forget God, and the hypocrite's hope shall perish, whose hope shall be cut off, and whose trust shall be a spider's web. He shall lean upon his house, but it shall not stand. He shall hold it fast, but it shall not endure. He is green before the sun, and his branch shooteth forth in his garden. His roots are wrapped about the heap, and seeth the place of stones. If he destroy him from his place, then it shall deny him, saying, I have not seen thee. Behold, this is the joy of his way, and out of the earth shall others grow. Behold, God will not cast away a perfect man, neither will he help the evildoers, till he fill thy mouth with laughing and thy lips with rejoicing. They that hate thee shall be clothed with shame, and the dwelling place of the wicked shall come to naught.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and decreeing from eternity, God of the heavens, God of the earth, but also God of thy own people, for whom thou hast a special care above all men and beasts here upon this world, for they are thy own children, and they come under thy protection. even as the apple of thine eye. And thou knowest each and every one of them, and where they are also in the midst of us, and in the midst of this whole world. Wilt thou remember them in all the trials and the tribulations that thou dost bring upon them for the sake of the salvation of their own souls? For thou knowest what is necessary in the life of thine own. Then we need to be cut off from Adam and to be engrafted into Christ. But thou knowest that we are not so soon separated from our first father. For there is a kinsman nearer than thou. Oh, that thou may teach thy children, and that thou may lead them into thy truth. For thou knowest those that go over this world and come up unto thy house with desire, that do say, teach me, O Lord, thy way, give me to walk in all of thy paths. O, do unite my heart also to fear thy name. Where are they, O Lord, in our midst, that have so come up in this afternoon hour with a desire to be instructed, as one who is so ignorant of self and ignorant of thee, who does not know the way, who has to smite upon his own breast, condemning himself and because of his own sin. Wilt thou look upon those who do come up, who do say, as thy servant David, as we have heard it in this morning hour, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, who cannot stand at thy judgment seat, for all the guilt that lays upon their account this day, and who does understand a little that their life does hang upon the balance, and that it is but a thread that in a moment can be cut away, and that does fear to drop into that eternal abyss. All those around us falling by way of the heat, by way of the fires, by way of disease, and by way of calamities, then thou knowest how the heart of such can tremble before the living and the true God, with no deserving of 2 feet here upon this world. Oh, that thou may remember them in all of that distress which thou bringest upon them by thy own Spirit, that thou may give unto those who desire to be reconciled unto the true and unto the living God, who do understand and feel the wretchedness and the misery of what it means to be without hope and without God in this world. Lord, thou knowest each and every one of them, thy own children. Thou knowest where that they are that do beg of thee, that do say, O Lord, I beseech thee. Wilt thou say unto my soul, I am thy salvation, that thou may show unto me that thou art my God, and that I am thy child, that I am one of thy own, and that I am not a castaway. For thou knowest all that lives in my heart and all that comes forth from my life. Oh, look, Lord, upon those who are without hope and without expectation, who cannot see their way at all, who do not know how to go forward in this life, who cannot bear the guilt and the pollution of sin, that do have to condemn themselves before a holy and a righteous God. Oh, that thou mayest deliver, Lord, that thou mayest give us all together to see and to feel how great our sins and our miseries are. Oh, when we have come up in this afternoon hour, and when there is no desire except all that which still belongeth unto this world, never tasted even one drop of the love of God in the heart. Oh, never a drawing by thy Spirit, but sitting hard and dead and cold under thy word of truth, maybe for many, many years. Oh, Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, wherefore are we gathered here in this afternoon? We beseech thee, what can the words of a man do? Then we are so helpless and so dependent upon thee, who knowest the heart of each and every one better than we know our own hearts. Oh, could it please thee, Lord, to send forth in this hour thy Holy Spirit, to come down from heaven and to work with might and with power amongst young and old, that there may be new ones born in Zion, and that there may be little children who may one day be able to say as an Obadiah of old, thou knowest that I have feared the Lord from my youth, and that may with a David of old desire to sing thy praises upon the fields while they are working during the week. O Lord, thou knowest each and every heart. And then we are all the sons and daughters of Adam, and we all need the same blessing. And it all must come from thee, because in us there dwelleth no good thing. Oh, do it then in and through thy dear Son. Oh, look upon us in his name. Thou art well pleased with all that he has done. What he has covenanted, he has also fulfilled in all of his faithfulness. And he has gone forth, O Lord, in the way of thy own covenant to fulfill that holy law. And he has kept it, O Lord. He has kept it, every jot and every tittle. And that price he has paid, so that there is nothing left in thy holy sight. Oh, we beseech thee then for the application unto us and unto our dear children. To whom else can we go, O Lord? And thou alone hast the words of eternal life. Remember all the needs and the cares, and that to multiply in the midst of a perishing world, and the needs of the body, the needs of the mind of both young and old, those who are suffering from serious diseases, relatives of those in our midst, thou knowest the place of them. When the message has come so clearly that they must set their house in order, for thou shalt die and not live, and yet we can be gone before they are. Oh, that thou may teach them and us together. Remember them in all of their cares and circumstances, and all those that mourn the losses of their loved ones, those that sit amongst the heaps of rubble in Florida,
where they are waiting for the bodies of their loved ones to be uncovered. Oh, Lord, thou knowest all that they do suffer. Oh, give them to look up unto heaven and to know that there is a God there, and that they may open their mouth to thee, and that thy great goodness may yet lead them to true repentance. Remember all that have great needs, those also that suffer from addictions, handicaps, those that have lost the use of their minds. O Lord, care for all that are old and ailing. And wilt thou remember all that must be in the hospital also, those that need to receive procedures or surgeries. Thou knowest the case of each one. Also, when a child is to be born, wilt thou make all things well with mother and child alike? And wilt thou look upon us in this hour? O Lord, help us. Grant us wisdom. Grant us thy spirit in a rich measure. Open thy word, Lord, as thou alone art able to do for our profit, and as thou alone art able to do for the glory of thy name, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Let us now sing from Psalter 327, all the stanzas. Lord, by thy word to me remember, thou hast made me hope in thee. This my comfort in affliction, that thy word hath quickened me. 1-4 of Psalter 327. beloved congregation, the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos received a vision out of heaven. And he was given to see a great multitude of people, and that had come from all the kindreds of this earth, and they were standing before God in white robes. What a glorious sight! Why was that written in the Word of God? It is for the comfort of God's true people who are still here upon this world. That is the hope that is set before that people. It is an eternal hope. It is a hope that is in heaven, where Paul says he may be with Christ, which is far better. Better than what? Better than to remain here, he said, upon this world. Do we think so too? That it would be better to leave this world? Why does the Apostle Paul say this? John asked that elder, "What are these that are clothed in these white robes? And whence come they?" And then it was answered to him, "These come out of the great tribulation." That word tribulation means to press. Thus it is speaking about an oppression. It is speaking about a pressing, as it were, between two stones that are in a press for food. So affliction, trial, tribulation. That is what they have come out of, who are now clothed in white robes and standing before the throne of God. That is the portion of God's children here upon this world. Why? The Lord makes them tired of this world. That is not easy to do to a man who is a lover of this world, whose heart is set on this world. Then it is often necessary that the Lord is doing much to take the heart of his people away from this world and to set their hope upon things that are above. And when he does so, that hope will also itself be tried. And we wish, with the Lord's help, to consider something of this with you this afternoon out of Job 8, verse 13b. Job 8, verse 13b, "And the hypocrite's hope shall perish." So far, the words of our text, the perishing hope of the hypocrite. First, a stinging accusation. And second, a sound truth. The perishing hope of the hypocrite. And that is both of these things that we read here. It is a stinging accusation. And it is, in our second thought, a sound truth. And the hypocrite's hope shall perish. Who says this? We read that, "Then answered Bildad the Shuhite." Who is Bildad the Shuhite? He was the son of Shua, who was a descendant of Abraham and his wife Keturah. And you know, young people and children, that Abraham, when Isaac was to be given the land of promise, that he sent away all of the children of Keturah toward the east. And so this Shua, he came to live near to the place where Job lived. And he was a, we read, friend of Job. Do you have friends, children, young people? It is good to have a friend. The Bible, it says that he who has friends must show himself friendly. Do you show yourself friendly? Also to those who do not have friends, do you look around you a little bit, children, young people, or do you always look for yourself? That is what we are. Look around you sometimes and see this child or that child that maybe no one is playing with. And will you be a friend also unto him, to her? Job had three friends. They were Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite. You know what the Bible says? It says that a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. And that is now something which Job experienced. Which of us knows the greatness of the trial that Job had to experience? Everything that came on Job in one day. And that he had to lose his family, had to lose all of his riches, that he had to lose even his own health, his own strength. And then he had nothing left except for a bitter wife, one who did tempt him to sin with his mouth. But Job still had three friends. And thus we see what a great blessing that a friend can be, especially in the days of adversity. Because these three friends of Job, we read, they came to visit him in his trouble. They made, we read, an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. But we read, when they lifted up their eyes afar off and knew him not, they lifted up their voice and wept, and rent every one his mantle and sprinkled dust upon their heads toward heaven. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and seven nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great. 7 days, seven nights, not one spake a word. Do we know just a little bit of this that also these three friends did experience? Well, we may see sometimes a grief, a grief that is so very, very great that we say that there are no words than to speak unto such a person. And sometimes then we feel like we need to say something. And yet sometimes it is better just to be silent. Sometimes it is better just to be there, because sometimes words, they defy the depth of the sorrow and the grief that is living in the heart of a man. And so we read also here. But finally, after seven long days, then we read that the silence is broken. Then it is not one of those friends. No, it is Job. It is Job himself who breaks that silence, and we read that he cursed the day that he was born. What a grief. What a great grief that this man had to suffer, and that he would actually curse the day of his birth, to say that he had wished that he had never seen in his life the light of day, that he wished that the womb which carried him might have sent him forth directly into the grave. That is a sinful thing, to say such a thing, because, young people, life is a gift of God. Will you remember that? And though Satan sometimes will drive, especially a young person, through all the miseries and the trials that can be in this life, and that Satan, he will say sometimes, like that wife of Job, young people, curse God and die. Take your own life, because it is better that you cease to live than that you would continue here upon this world. That was a sinful thing that she did say unto Job, and it was a sinful thing for Job to curse the day of his own birth, the great gift of God, life, that he had given unto him in its beginnings. Though we condemn Job, we will not condemn Job, because we cannot enter into the suffering that Job had to suffer. What did Job have left? You say Job had nothing left. Everything was taken away from Job. Would it not then actually have been better that Job had never come into this world? All of the children that the Lord had given to him, they are now taken away. What good then was his life? Young people, I think some of you will say to me, "Oh, I do not think so. Oh, did not Job actually have something? Did he not receive something in this life that was precious? Did not Job have something that was actually of more value than everything that a man can have in this world?" Job actually spoke of that. He knew of that. He said, "What is my strength that I should hope? And what is mine end that I should prolong my days?" What did he say? He said, "I am sick. I am very weak." And that is the way it was. He said, "Soon now, I am going to die. What is my strength that I should hope? What kind of hope do I have yet to live in this world?" And then he desired to die. "Oh, that I might have my request, and that God would grant me the thing that I long for, even that it would please God to destroy me, that he would let loose his hand and cut me off." That is something. Did we ever desire with Job to die? Some desire to die because of the pain, because of the suffering that they have to endure in this world. But that desire to die, that is often out of great ignorance. Why? Because then so many persons, they do not understand what is coming after that death. That after that death will come a suffering that is much worse than the suffering and the pain and that is experienced here in this world. Was that the same then with Job? Did Job say these words out of ignorance that he might have his request that the Lord would destroy him? No, not to all eternity, but that he would take away from him his life. That was not done out of ignorance in the life of Job. No, because Job also says here, then should I yet have comfort. Thus Job had no hope anymore for anything that was in the midst of this life. And thus Job asked the Lord if he may take him away from this world now already, that he would withdraw his hand and that he would relieve him from his sorrows and from all of his pain. That is something. Then when Job had no hope left in this life, that Job still had a hope in his death. How is that now with us? When we would have no hope left for this life, would we then have what Job had? That he had, do you have also a hope in your death? That is now the happiest person. That is the most blessed person in this whole world. Has man then lived in vain? Who can in death's dark hour escape the dismal grave with all its ruinous power? Has that man lived in vain? When everything in this world that he had, all his riches, all his family, everything taken away from him, and when he is able to escape for himself that dismal grave? The hypocrite's hope shall perish. Who says this? It is Bildad. Bildad the Shuhite, that is one of these three friends of Job. As congregation, we want to stop here for a moment. Bildad the Shuhite. From where did all the trial, the affliction of Job come? Well, you know the beginning. Don't you say that came from Satan himself? Satan said to the Lord that Job served thee because thou hast blessed him. But take now away everything that Job has, and Job will curse thee to thy face. There is nothing genuine in the heart of Job. It is all deceit. It is all hypocrisy. And the Lord gave the devil leave. Everything is taken away. He is given permission to touch all the riches that the Lord had blessed him with. And when all this fails to bring Job to curse God to the face, then the Lord also gives permission to take away his own health. Everything. And what was the result? It was all in vain. No, Job did not curse God. No, Job did not serve God for all of those blessings. No, the root of the matter that was in the heart of Job, O congregation, is the root of the matter also in our heart. What would we say? Would we say, as Job said, when the Lord took everything away from him, that the Lord is blessed? Satan is now vanquished. The trial is finished. Satan has now to let go of Job. But boys and girls, you know what happened. When the Lord came down from that mountain, and when that man was standing there with his boy, that devil was in that boy, and the Lord commands that devil to come out of him, then what does that devil do? He rends him. Thus the devil tried to slay that boy before that he left him, came out of him. That is now the final purpose of Satan. Oh, do we ever feel something of this when we see everything that is in this world that is drawing our hearts, even as he has tempted Christ himself? All this world will I give to you if you will fall down and worship me. Oh, do we ever see something of the end? Do we ever feel something of the purpose of that prince of darkness? What he is attempting to do to our soul, then he would slay us. And what will he now do to Job? The devil has lost the battle. The devil now must depart. And before he departs, he tries to kill him. He tries to slay him. The hypocrite's hope shall perish. Who said this? Bildad the Shuhite, one of the friends of Job. That is now who the devil uses. The devil uses friends of Job to try to slay him. Did he then turn the friends of Job into his enemies? Oh, no. No, they were friends of Job. And they remained the friends of Job. And they were true friends of Job. So was Peter a friend of Christ. He was a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. He loved the Lord. And yet, what did Christ have to say to him? He had to say at one time, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Oh, Satan has tried to use that friend of Christ to tempt him. And now, Satan who has been busy trying to slay Job, and Satan, who is now vanquished in that battle, he will one more time try to make use of these friends of Job. And those friends of Job meant very well. Those friends of Job also spake the truth, words of truth. But they are greatly mistaken in the application. Oh, Satan. Satan also uses the truth. If Satan can use the truth to deceive a man, if Satan can use the truth to settle the heart of a man in his wickedness, to say it is well with you, so that a man does not seek, so that a man is settled in his heart walking through this world, then that word of God, that is good with Satan. And if Satan can use that word of God to harass the church of God, then he will do it. Then he will turn the truth of God itself into a lie. The hypocrite's hope shall perish. What did Satan do through these three friends of Job? Satan now attacks. He attacks the one thing that Job had left. Job had nothing left but one thing. What was that? That was hope. It was hope. It was not hope for this life. It was hope for another life. And now Satan attacks that. Do you know where Satan did that? He did that on his deathbed. At least that's what Job thought that it was. Because Job did not expect any more to be able to live through this. And now while he is, as it were, lying on his deathbed, then Satan comes. And he comes through those three well-meaning friends. And Satan says to Job, "Job, you're a hypocrite. You're a hypocrite. All your hope that you have in this life is gone. And that hope that you think to have, that goes further than this life, that is not a true hope. That is a false hope." And Job, the hypocrite's hope shall perish. Are there those who have lost all their hopes for this life? Has the Lord ever taken away all of your hopes for this world? And do you think sometimes that maybe you have another hope? That you have a hope that goes beyond this life? How many times has Satan said to you, "You're a hypocrite"? And that hypocrite's hope shall perish. And what do you fear more? What do you fear more than coming to that day when you are lying on your deathbed? And when that hope, that last hope, that only hope, maybe that little hope, that will be taken away from me. Are you afraid of that? The hypocrite's hope shall perish. That is a summary of the comfort that these three friends bring to Job. They thought they would do him good. They thought they would warn him. They thought they would say, "Job, you need to repent before that you die." That was a special temptation. A special temptation. Do you know why? It is a special temptation when it comes through our friends. Our friends. And when all our friends are all saying the same thing, then that is a special temptation. And then it was not a comfort. No, but there was an increase. You understand that. Job had but one comfort. in all his wretchedness and in all his misery. And the devil, by way of these three friends, he would like to take it away. And not only that, no, then those friends, they say unto him, Job, look back also now. Look back to our fathers, the wise men. For inquire, I pray thee, of the former age, and prepare thyself to the search of their fathers. For we are but of yesterday, and know nothing. Because our days upon earth are a shadow. Shall not they teach thee and tell thee in utter words out of their heart? Oh, he brings the fathers. Satan brings everything. Satan brings everyone against this last hope of Job. The only thing that was preserving that man from an utter despair. Three times that dart that is sent into that heart of Job. But let us sing first, 414, stanzas 1 and 2. O Lord, how swiftly grows the number of my foes who wantonly oppress me. Yea, multiplied are they that rise to my dismay and day by day distress me. 414, stanzas 1 and 2. Can the rush grow up without mire? Can the flag grow without water? Whilst it is yet in his greenness, and not cut down, it withereth before any other herb. So are the paths of all that forget God. The rushes, they grow when there is water. And as soon as that water is dried up, then those rushes wither. Bildad says now what the hypocrite is. He says that is a man who forgets God, Job. He forgets God. His whole religion is all about himself. Everything of your religion is nothing but a form. And as soon as that form is gone, oh, then it will be seen, it will be proven that there is nothing left. A hypocrite flourishes while that there is a blessing from the Lord. And when that blessing from the Lord goes away, oh, then it is proven what is true. Do you hear the devil, children? Do you hear the devil? He is coming out in the words of Bildad the Shuhite. Oh, were those words ever whispered in your heart? Hypocrite. Hypocrite. Whose hope and the hypocrite's hope shall perish, whose hope shall be cut off, and whose trust shall be a spider's web. He shall lean upon his house, but it shall not stand. He shall hold it fast, but it shall not endure. A second time, a second arrow. Then he takes another example instead of the rushes. Now he will convince Job. Job, now look at the spider. How the spider builds a web with her hands. Oh, that is like a man, Job. Like a man builds all his religion. And in one moment, that broom that is sweeping that web out of that corner, oh, that spider is leaning upon that web, Job. Just like you are leaning, Job, upon that hope. That only hope that you think to have. But just as flimsy as that web is, so that hope is soon going to be wiped away. Oh, it is enough to move the heart of that fearful people. Like the heart of David was moved when he heard that Syria was confederate with Ephraim. Oh, then the heart of David was moved. It trembled, just like the trees are moved, we read, with the wind. A third time, he is green before the sun, and his branch shooteth forth in his garden. His roots are wrapped up about the heap and seeth the place of stones. If he destroy him from his place, then it shall deny him, saying, I have not seen thee. Oh, the hypocrite, Job, he is just like a tree. And those roots, they are going down just by the springs of waters. And they are being fed by the waters. That was just like your life, Job. Oh, a life of great prosperity. But then, oh, then the owner comes and he cuts that tree down. And when that tree is cut down, then no one will ever have even known that that tree existed. Maybe another tree will grow up in its place. Oh, that is you, Job. That is you. You have been flourishing for a time. Just like such a flourishing tree. But now God comes. Now God comes. And he comes to cut you down. Why? Because God destroys Job the wicked. And another will come and take your place. Oh, it is evident in your life. We can see the way that the Lord is dealing with you, Job. The way that the Lord is dealing in the way of His providences. Then we can see that actually it was all hypocrisy. And the hypocrite's hope shall perish. Congregation, those words of Bildad and Job's other friends were true. They were words that were well meant, but they were misapplied. The application, to whom does that belong? The application does not belong to you and me. No, the application that belongs unto the Lord. Because the Lord is the one who knows what is living in the heart. Oh, it is true, we must be honest. We have to be honest with each other. But we also must be careful. What a great grief that these words have added to all the affliction of Job. And they did not do that purposely, but they thought to do him good. The hypocrite's hope shall perish. That is so true. Do we ever consider what our own hope is? And whether or not that hope that we may think to have is the hope of a hypocrite? Or are we going to leave this until our deathbed, if we receive a deathbed? We all have hopes, both young and old. But do our hopes go further, any further than the hope of all mankind? What is that hope of all mankind? Lord, wilt thou give me another day? Another day. Do we have more hope than this? Because if that is now all the hope we have, that we will live another day, another week, another year, not yet taken away, if that is now all the hope we have, then that hope will perish. Paul speaks about those who are without God in this world, and he says they are without hope. Are we without hope? They are without true hope. They are without hope that can bring them further than this world. When is that true hope born? When does a man receive true hope? Maybe you will say, in that day when their soul goes out after Christ. What do you think of that, young people? What would you say of that? That is now the first hope of a man. When their soul goes out, the first true hope of God's people. Sounds good, doesn't it? Sounds so true, doesn't it? Maybe sounds so biblical, but it is not. No, if that was now the first hope of God's people, then so many of His children, they would have to be left out. I'll ask you a question. How many of you would dare to say that Ruth, when she was standing there on that border of Moab, and when she clave unto her mother-in-law, how many of us would dare to say that that woman had no hope? Or that that woman's hope was the hope of a hypocrite? Does such a tried woman, does such an afflicted woman cleave unto the Lord without hope? What would make her so cleave to him? Wherein does that hope of that woman, wherein does that hope of that woman truly lie? You know what happened. Well, you say that lies in Boaz? Because Boaz is the near kinsman? That is right. That is where it lies. But did Ruth know that? No, that was hidden for Ruth. Well, you say, then the hope of Ruth at that time must have been misplaced, because her hope was not then on that Boaz. Is that so? Is that so, that that hope was misplaced? Or is it so that that hope still needed to be directed? Or is it so that that hope still needed to be shown a special object of hope? When Naomi tried Ruth, what did she say to her? She said, "Do I have yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands?" How was it that Ruth clave unto Naomi? She clave to Naomi in ignorance. And yet she clave in hope, hoping against hope. That woman did not know where the true hope of Israel did lay. Only, she said, "Who can tell? Oh, a holy jealousy lay in the heart of that woman." How did she cleave to Naomi? She clave only saying, "Remember me, O Lord, with that favor that thou bearest unto thy people." Now tell me something. Was Ruth's hope the hope of a hypocrite? You will all say no. Then it is the true hope, because it cannot be anything else. Only she did not know that, did she? She did not know that it was that true hope. Oh, that hope of the newborn soul. That is not the hope of a hypocrite. That is a hope that still needs to be instructed. It is a hope that still needs to be directed. The object of her hope was general. The object of that people's hope is also general, that is in God. But that hope needed to be instructed in that near kinsman. Did the Lord do that for Ruth? Oh, yes, he did. Slowly. He did that step by step. And he did that in a most wonderful way. No, she was not married immediately. We remember that, young people. Why do I say your name so often, young people? Because there are so many ideas in the world. And then they are immediately speaking about the assurance of faith. No. No. That does not come first. No, her marriage to Boaz did not come first. That belongs unto the established church. That belongs unto the bride. But Ruth began to be instructed by the Lord. What did the Lord do in his providence? He brought her. He brought her in his providence upon the fields of Boaz, there to receive gifts from Boaz. Did she come there for that purpose? No, she did not come there for that purpose. She did not know she was going to get gifts there. Do you know why she came there? She came there to work. She came there to labor. She came there to glean some ears of corn after the reapers, just a little bit, because of her poverty. And that was now her hope. That was her hope, that she could come there and glean a little bit, that she may have something to eat. Do you ever have such a hope when you come up to the house of God that you could have one crumb? Did you ask the Lord for that today before you left your house? Oh, that I could glean, Lord, just a little bit. And then you know what we read? Then we read that Boaz, he is instructing his workers. You must now take some handfuls, whole handful, and leave that behind. Why? Oh, that she may gather that. And then when she comes off of that field in that day, oh, she is going to have an abundance. Did you ever have that? You ever have that, young people? Did you ever go out of the house of God with an abundance? Ask God's people what that means. You know, when she come back the next day, she had a new hope. You know what that hope was? Oh, she was looking now. She was looking now for those handfuls on purpose. Because those handfuls on purpose, that was not just her gleaning, but that was from Boaz. Felt that. Oh, that was a new hope. Oh, then her hope has been instructed, has it not? That hope is now being directed. Then it is not just on her labors to gain a little bit. Now she is beginning to feel and to experience what it is to receive it by gift, not by her merits. Oh, just the experience. She doesn't know anything yet of all that has to come, but the experience of her life, what it was there upon that field of Boaz, and the hope that that poor woman, that widow woman, she had no husband, and that she may be instructed on those fields of Boaz. Was that a hope of the hypocrite? Ask God's children. Ask those who have experienced in their life what that hope was. Because then they can tell you, there was a time in my life that I come up to that house of the Lord, and every time again, oh, there was a blessing from the Lord. Oh, in those days I experienced in my life that the storehouses of Joseph, how full that they were. Oh, that was not the hope of that hypocrite. When they came into that house of the Lord, then the Lord has fulfilled it time and again. And time and again they have gone forth with a broken heart and with a contrite spirit. The hope of a hypocrite? No. Did Ruth still miss something? Oh, you say yes. What did she still not know? She still didn't know anything. She didn't know anything of the work and of the person of that near kinsman. Oh, there came a day. There came a day that her mother-in-law, and she hears who that is, and her mother-in-law says that to her. Oh, she says, he is thy near, is a near kinsman, one of our next kinsmen. What a day that was for Ruth. One of our next kinsmen. And now it becomes that she is instructed in something. Something new. Oh, then Naomi may tell her how that is in Israel. How that is for such a widow woman as Ruth was. And then she may tell her how that there is a law in Israel. The law of the near kinsman. And that this man, who has been dropping handfuls of purpose for her, oh, she is not a stranger, actually, to that man, is she? No. This man is her near kinsman. And now I ask you, the hope of Ruth, what happened to it? Do you see what is happening? That hope is being now directed more and more. And the Lord is instructing Ruth so that now she begins to go to that field with a new hope. The hope in a new and living way. What a day when that hope was given unto Ruth. Is that hope now different? Is it really any different than that hope that she had when she was standing on the borders of Moab? That is my question. And then we must say no. No, it is not different. It is only a hope that has been instructed and directed to that specific object, unto that near kinsman. The hypocrite's hope shall perish. Did Ruth's hope perish? No. Why not? Because it was not the hope of a hypocrite. Neither was Job's. What about ours? Do you know what Job said? He said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Do you know what Paul said? He said, I know in whom I have believed. What is that? That is a further instruction. That is a different object that belongs to the established church. But it is one hope. It is one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The same hope as when she was standing there on a border of Moab. Thy people, my people. And thy God, my God. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou remember thy own, for they so often tremble, and Satan, he is ready to say it, even to their deathbed, that the hypocrite's hope shall perish. But thou knowest where they are. O Lord, wilt thou look them up, and wilt thou feed them a little of that precious manna from heaven, or that they may receive a little courage and a little direction in that hope that shall never make them ashamed. Give a holy jealousy for this portion, to young and old together, because it is a day of grace, that we would not wait till the day of our death. Wilt thou keep us in this day, keep us in this week, give us meditations of thee, forgive all of our many sins, care for the afflicted, watch over us for good. For Jesus' sake, amen. 364, 1 through 4. From out the depths I cry to thee, O let thy ear attentive be, hear thou my supplicating plea, have mercy, Lord. 1 through 4 of 364.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.